What's good, everybody? We're back with another episode of We Just Be Talking. It is your host, Gold. I am not joined by, he wants to go by Casino T, so we're going to keep saying Casino T. Crazy name, but we're going to keep going by it. But not joined by him today. He has some schoolwork to tend to, and you all know my rules and priorities. You know, school always goes first. You know, if it's family, work, school, those are the important things that, you know, non-negotiables. Take care of those things first before you get anything else done. So he's not going to be on this episode. He'll be back for the NFL recap, which should drop Thursday. But this is going to be the NBA preview. We're going to do the NBA preview. Also, a quick update. I'm going to split the podcast up. It's going to happen because it's going to get a little bit too much in some point with like switching between sports and then this on one feed. I kind of want to have them under two different names. I really do. So I'm going to split it. It's just a matter of me getting the logistics out the way and getting everything straight. So it's going to take a little time just to get that out the way. Plus, I'm busy myself. Like, I have a lot of stuff going on right now. So it's just going to take a little time. But I'm going to separate it. The sports will have a different name. I don't know if it's going to be different names, same feed, or if it's going to be a different feed and different name. I don't know yet how it's going to work out. Like I said, that'll be like a November thing. I'm going to work that out then. It's just between work being crazy. I'm in school myself, so school's been a lot. And then personal life has been a lot going on as well. So it's just, nothing's bad, of course, but it's just been a lot going on. So been busy. So now that we got all that out the way, NBA. NBA, my favorite time of the year. I love NBA. I love NBA. Basketball is legit my favorite sport out of all the major ones in existence. It's basketball. Football, I love football as well, but to be honest, it's actually funny because I like all the sports, really, because I like baseball. Shout out to my Dodgers. They in the World Series against the Yankees. I'm so happy. I know I'm getting off track already. I'm so happy that I get to see a Dodgers and Yankees World Series in my lifetime. Like, I've always wanted one, and now I got it. And I hope we beat their ass. Like, I'm hoping it's like 4-5 games that we get them out the way. Like, like we just beat their ass. Like, I really do hope that. But, you know, shout out to my Dodgers, you know, World Series. Hopefully future champions in about a week and a half. And yeah, I like all the major sports, really. I like hockey. I actually watch hockey. It's easier to watch it now because they started to show it more on TV because it's on ESPN and TNT now. I think TBS gets some games nowadays. I'm not sure. I know TNT and ESPN for sure. I watch them on there. So, you know, I get to see a little hockey now. I really enjoy hockey as well. I'm a Pittsburgh Penguins fan. Like, that's me. I'm a Penguins fan. It's like, Crosby's my guy. That's just is what it is. And then football, of course, I'm a Patriots fan. I hope we never win a game for the rest of this year. I'm stand by that. And what other sports are there that I really lock into for real? Really, those, like, the four major ones, what I really like watch. I watch soccer every now and then casually, but I'm not like a big soccer guy. Like, I'm not like, oh, I know the team and this and that. Like, I just know players and which teams are generally good and which ones are usually bad. Like, I just kind of know those things, but I'm not really locked into soccer for real like that. I know a little bit about tennis. Like, I watch tennis from time to time. Even golf. Like, I love golf too. People don't know this, but I played golf in middle school for a little bit. They taught us how to play golf in sixth grade, and I loved it after that. So, like, I'm really into golf as well. Golfing is a very expensive sport, and I don't think people realize that it's very expensive to get into. So, you know, it's just all kind of sports. But the one sport that shall remain all the time that I will always forever watch and forever be a huge fan of is basketball. Basketball is definitely the favorite sport. I just enjoy everything about the game. Like, I just do. I can't even give you one thing that stands out that I enjoy about it. It's just the game overall. Like, I've always been drawn to it. Like, growing up, my favorite player was AI, Allen Iverson. That was my favorite player growing up. I also became a big fan of Dwayne Wade. that's kind of halfway how I became a Heat fan. But also, funny fact, I liked Alonzo Mourning. That was one of my favorite players too. I know that's wild because like, who the fuck likes Alonzo Mourning like that? But Alonzo Mourning was a dog. Like, I liked Alonzo. He was cool. So I was a big Alonzo Mourning fan. And then Wade came into the league. I was a big Wade fan. And then also Shaq, who was one of my favorite players growing up as well, when he came to the Heat also, that was around the time I really started watching basketball like a lot. And that was around the age, like, yeah, where I was really like, I think around that age, around the time I was about 7, 8. I was 7, 8. So that's when I was like really starting to get into it. So, you know, the Heat just always been my team. I just enjoy the Heat. We've been close the last couple of years. I'm happy. Like, we've made some finals. It's funny because people always shit on us, but we've made some finals. Like, we've been one of the most consistent teams in the East, believe it or not. Like, people want to shit on us all the time, but we've been very consistent. So it's just like, you know, just one of them teams that go on the radar, but it's fine. We're going to break through one of these years. It's going to happen. I think our Jimmy time is probably about to expire soon, but we got my boy Bam. I'm not really a big Hero fan, but we're not going to get into that right now. But, yeah, so, you know, Allen Iverson was got me into basketball. That was, like, my favorite player because I used to want to – I was really short when I was – like, I'm tall – I'm considered tall now. But when I was younger, I was short for a good period of time. Like, I was short. So, you know, I was like, well, you got to be tall to play basketball. And I had this one teacher. Her name was Miss Huggins. I'll never forget. Her name was Miss Huggins. She said, you don't have to be tall to play basketball. They got a lot of people that's not that tall. So she gave me a list of all the short players to look up. Like, she gave me, like, Muggsy Bowles, Spud Webb. But she said, they got one playing right now. His name's Allen Iverson. And he a bad man. He really good. And all that. And she was like, he's really good. She said, if he could do it, you could do it too. And all that. So, you know, that's what led me, like, Iverson, of course, I could watch him. At the time, like, you know, I saw some games of them and whatnot, but, you know, I'm a kid. I don't really think that much into it. So I started watching more, like, of Iverson and all that. And I was like, oh, he really good. So there's before YouTube, we could look up highlights and all that. So I didn't have that ability back then because YouTube wasn't a thing yet, guys. I know it sounds crazy. And you might say, like, oh, you old. I'm like, nah, not really. Like, we just didn't have YouTube at the time. YouTube came about a couple years after the fact. So, yeah, so it was just like I just got drawn to Iverson. This became my favorite player. And from there, it just took off. And that's when I just started following the game and keeping up with players and all that kind of stuff. And yeah, that's just how it went. So this is just my little backstory, little history about, like, you know, why I enjoy the game so much and everything like that. So let's get into some topics going into the season. So I'm going to go ahead and address the elephant in the room. We're going to start with everybody's favorite franchise, the Los Angeles Lakers. We're going to start with that right now. The funny part is I'm not even see, it's funny because, like, with the Lakers, like, I don't like the Lakers. Like, I'm not a Lakers fan. I'm not at all. I just respect the players they had that came through. Like, Magic Johnson. Dog, Kareem, dog, Kobe, dog, like all those players, like I like, they have legends. It's a storied franchise for a reason. They have straight legends came out from the Lakers, but I just never been a Lakers fan. Even when Kobe was playing, like, I enjoyed watching Kobe, but I wasn't a Kobe guy. I never was a Kobe guy. I would always argue for LeBron. I would always argue for LeBron. And it's funny, people think LeBron's my favorite player, but he's really not. LeBron's not my favorite player, though. I've always enjoyed Wade more. Like, that's just the funny part. It was just funner to talk about, well, more fun to talk about LeBron over Kobe than it was anybody else. Because it was just always used to get people riled up and get angry. So it used to be just fun. Like, it was a fun way to troll for me. It was just fun. So, yeah, so with the Lakers, they've kind of, how can I put this? The Lakers are in a very strange spot because it's like the Lakers, like I said, storied franchise. We all know this. And it always used to be a thing where, like, oh, the Lakers are going to get a star. They're going to get a star. Like, when one star leaves, another one shall enter. That was always the Lakers thing. And they had some down years after, like, post-Kobe Achilles injury. They had some down years. Even LeBron's first year there wasn't that great. It was pretty, pretty bad. They shipped the young guys out, went and got AD, got some old vets, went to the bubble, won a chip. Congratulations. next year, they could have possibly repeated because they were a very good team then the following year. But then the injuries piled up. AD had, I believe, a groin injury. He tried to play through it because he got tired of feeling like he was soft and, you know, he couldn't play through injury. So then he kind of, you know, did whatever. And, well, he tried to play through it and then, you know, it didn't work out that way. LeBron was also hobbled a little that year as well. I want to say that was the year that, well, who was it? It wasn't Mbah Moute. It was a known defender in the league. It wasn't Mbah Moute, though. I can't remember his name. He played for the Hawks, though. My basketball historians would know who I'm talking about. But, you know, that's the year that LeBron came down. He did a close. The guy did a closeout. LeBron came down on his ankle, fucked his ankle up. And then, you know, that kind of derailed LeBron for a bit. So, you know, all these things happen. I believe that was that same year. I don't think it was the bubble year when that occurred. I don't believe. No, because right before the bubble, they had just played the Bucks, and LeBron went crazy against Giannis. Because LeBron probably should have won MVP that year, to be honest. I ain't going to lie. He was really close to winning it. If I got my years mixed up, forgive me. So, it's just Lakers have been that weird team for a long time where it's like every year they get hyped up so much to be like, oh, they're going to be a top four seed. Oh, they might run the West. And then it always ends up being that playing team. They always end up being somehow the seventh seed. And then they make it one or two rounds and then they lose. Or lately it's been losing the first round because let's see, the Suns beat them first round. Then it was no playoffs, I believe. Then it was the magical run to the conference finals. Nuggets beat them. And then last year, Nuggets swept them first round. No, 1-5 games first round. So, yeah, it's just they're one of them weird franchises right now. And it also became a side show because of the Bronny James stuff and everything like that. Like the whole Bronny James thing has kind of been a little circus show. And you got J.J. Redick became the head coach as well. You have that because LeBron and J.J. had a podcast. And next thing you know, J.J. is the front runner to be the head coach. And he's, quote unquote, not the front runner to be the head coach. And then he ends up becoming the head coach. It was all smokes and mirrors. We knew who it was. Clutch Sports works harder than anyone I know. They work hard. They work very hard to push the agenda they want to push. So, with all that being said, with the Lakers, and then they drafted Bronny James this past draft with the 55th overall pick. Rich Powell's making some calls. Again, Clutch Sports works, you know, works very hard. The guard works hard, but no, not guard. The devil works hard, but Clutch Sports works harder. That's how I'm gonna phrase that up. And they drafted him with the 55th pick. Rich Powell, of course, made a call saying if you draft him, he going to, I think, Australia, some other country to play, some other league to play in and all that. So, you know, it's all – LeBron is – like Stephen A. Smith says all the time, LeBron has a fetish for controlling the narrative. That's just what he does. He has a very strange fetish for wanting to control things. It's just how it goes. So, with that – all this happened in the past year. And they also drafted Dalton Connect, I think, with what, the 15th pick, 14th, something like that, 16th pick, some 17th pick, something like that. I think it was 17th. Somewhere around that time, they drafted Dalton Connect as well. Dalton Connect looked very good. I'm very impressed by him. I was a big fan of Connect in college. I'm like, yeah, he's older, but the older guys, you know what you're going to get pretty much. Like, he's just going to be that shooter. That's all you need from him. You need him to be a shooter. And try to play defense because nobody, let's be real now, the days of defense in the NBA long gone. No one plays defense in the NBA for real. It's very few individuals that still play defense in the NBA. And the ones that play usually play at the elite level. It's not like they just skating by. So it's not much defense played nowadays. Like it's straight offense. So we have that going. So we had them draft Connect. They drafted Bronny, new coach. Everything just new for the Lakers, just about. But the team overall, except for the team roster is pretty much the same for the most part. Because let's look at their roster real quick. They still have, they still have AD, Rui. They have Jackson Hayes. LeBron's still there, of course. Reeves is still there. They still have D'Lo. Cam Reddish is still there. Vanderbilt is there. Gabe Vincent is still there. Thank God we got rid of him when we did. Because I told all my friends, Lakers friends, I said, y'all going to hate Gabe Vincent, watch it. And lo and behold, it came to fruition. Because I was like, y'all not going to like him for real. I said, don't let that Finals Nuggets series and the Celtics series fool y'all. That's not how it worked. And also, we're one of the teams that, what I see, the Heat, it's funny how my teams are connected in some way. like the Heat are like the Patriots in the way of not with winning wise because we don't have the rings, but we're like the Patriots in the way of like we will get a player and make them look like they are just God's gift to earth. The minute they leave, they are nobody at that point. Like they like dang, they really were not that good. Like what did y'all do to unlock them to that level? It's the system, the Heat culture. They had the the Patriots way they used to say all the time was the Patriots way, and we have the Heat culture. This is how it works. So they also have Christian Wood still on their roster as well. And they got some new faces too. Max Christian's still there too. But they got some new faces on there too, like maybe three. Two of them are, well, no, I think all of them are rookies, actually. I don't think they made any trades. No, it's just all three are rookies, yeah. They didn't really sign anybody. They're running back with the same team, essentially. They think they got enough. So, I think it's going to be interesting to see how long Bronny stays on the active roster before he gets sent to the G League. I think that's going to be interesting to see because I know come Tuesday night when they play the Timberwolves, they are going to play Bronny. No matter what happens, Bronny and LeBron will be on that court together at some point. Bronny's going to check in. It's going to be a standing ovation. All the glazing for LeBron. Like, woo, congratulations, LeBron. Oh, my God. It's such a beautiful moment. He's about to play with his son. We got it. Cool. Like, it's cool the first time. Second, third time, I don't care anymore. We're trying to win games. Like, put him on the court. Let him have that moment. Be like, oh, my God, it's the first NBA father-son duo to ever be together. Okay, after the game, if they lose, which might happen, I don't think it will. I think they win in the first game. They're going to ask LeBron, despite the loss, how do you feel about, you know, sharing the court with your son? Like, what did that moment mean to you? And knowing LeBron, he's probably going to be passive. He's going to be like, well, I mean, it was a cool experience to, you know, share the court with my son. It was surreal, but, you know, it would have been better if we won. That's normally how LeBron do. He does that passive bullshit that I hate. I hate the passive aggressiveness. LePassive is his name for a reason. So, with the Lakers, I feel as though after that Bronny debacle, because I think LeBron is being used as a prop because it's like everything LeBron does is calculated to try to one-up Jordan at this point. That's his goal now. Like, once he beat the Warriors in that 3-1 comeback, his primary focus was to chase the ghost of Michael Jordan. That's his primary focus. I don't care what anyone says, what anyone believes. I wholeheartedly believe that his focus right now as an NBA player is just like, okay, I may not win that many championships as Jordan. I might not be able to catch that six. Like, I done lost a lot of them because with LeBron's, four and five in finals, 4-6, something along those lines. Because, let's see, he lost to the Spurs twice. He lost to the Warriors three times. Yeah. He was at 9 straight finals. I'm trying to think, y'all. I'm sorry. Let me think. All right, Mavericks. That's right. Spurs twice, Mavericks. I erased that one from my memory. That's funny. Spurs twice, Mavericks. Warriors 1, 2, 3 times. So, yeah, 4-6. He's 4-6 in finals. And I think at this point, you know, like, okay, my record in finals, I was at the 8-9 consecutive finals. Like, I did that. I only won 4 of them. I can't catch them in rings, but everything else I can do, I can surpass them in everything else. Like, I can be the all-time leading scorer. That's a big flex. I can be top 5 in assists before I retire, possibly 3. If Chris Paul ever retires, he can be possibly moved to about 3. He was like, I could have over 10,000 rebounds. I think he had like 11K right now. I'm not sure. I can stat pad rebounds, get them up there. I could basically average a triple double as far as all time stats go. I got 40, 11, 11. Like I'm him. I can get those. What else can I do? Let's see, Jordan, his sons tried to play basketball, but they sucked. So, maybe I can get Bronny, possibly even Bryce, if I could last long enough, to both get to the league with me and be on the team with me. And I could say, like, well, that's one thing I got better than Jordan, too. My sons are actual NBA prospects. They made it to the league. What does your sons do? They quit halfway through. That's something that I could do as well. Jordan never got to do that. Jordan didn't even have a successful son to make the league. You know, I feel everything with LeBron is calculated in that way. I really think they sit down and think, like, what can we do to push you over Jordan? And then they got, like, the whole little, he's starting to be more vocal now and all these little different things they got going on, like the Starting Five on Netflix, which is just a shitting on Darvin Ham saying he didn't know what the fuck he was doing. That's all that really was for that. Or the Olympics run, like, oh, the Olympics show that I could still contribute to winning and blah, blah, blah. And it's always something to boost that he's like, he still is LeBron and I'm up here and this and that. I'm the godfather in the NBA. I'm the face of the league. Like, it's always something to push him out. Put him out in front. This is how it goes with LeBron. So, how do I feel the Lakers season will pan out? I believe the Lakers, I went back and forth on this for a while. I went back and forth for a while, and I even talked to one of my friends about this recently. And I was like, I don't know. I said, you think y'all gonna make the playoffs, or you think y'all, because he's a big Lakers fan, Lakers guy, 10 toes, Lakers guy. Like, you think y'all going to make the playoffs or y'all going to be playing? And he was like, I think we're going to be like that. I believe he said like the sixth seed possibly around that time. And I was like, okay. I was like, I feel a play-in though. He was like, I think we're going to make cuz. And then I thought about it and I was like, looking at these other teams in the Western Conference, like they got some heavy hitters, but I could see the Lakers making it to that. Even the fourth seed, to be real, which I think they can make it to that fourth seed, to be completely honest. Because looking at the Western Conference, we have the Pelicans, we have the Mavericks, we have the Nuggets, Warriors, Rockets, Clippers, Lakers, Timberwolves, Suns, Blazers, Kings, Spurs, Thunder, Jazz, and Grizzlies. I believe that with the move, because let's see, let's go down this list and see. The Pelicans don't have a center. They're going to run the old school Golden State lineup with no true center. It's just a point forward kind of thing going on, if you even want to call it that, because Zion can handle the ball. So it'd be like a point forward situation going on with them. They added DeJounte Murray. So they have DeJounte. They have CJ still. B.I. did not get traded this offseason. I still feel like a trade might come pre-deadline. Like, I want to say around maybe December. This like mid-December, he might, whenever the play-in tournament is over with. So, yeah, mid-December. So, like, mid-December, they might try to move him. I feel like at this point, they should keep him this year. And then next year, well, no, because I think next year he's a free agent. So, I'm not sure how they're gonna do that, because he wants a lot, but I don't think Bri's worth that contract that he's asking for. I really don't. I like, he's a good player, but I don't think he's worth that money. It's going to be tough. It's going to be tough to see what they do with B.I. going forward. Or if he just ends up staying. You never know with the Pelicans. But they lost Valanciunas. So I feel like the Pelicans, they're going to be interesting to see. Because that small ball lineup is going to be interesting. Because Herb Jones is reportedly going to play center. So that's going to be very interesting to see. Take it, he has like the length and the defensive capability to guard like the bigger forwards and centers in the league. He can be kind of like a Draymond, but with a better 3-point shot. You know, it's just like, we're gonna see what happens. The Mavericks basically took the team they had. I'm gonna just say how they did. They basically took the team they had and said, what can we switch up a little bit to improve? Like, who are weak links? They got rid of, I know it's Tim Hardaway for sure. I can't remember who else. But they swapped out some pieces for some players. They brought back Dinwiddie. They also brought in Klay Thompson, which I don't know how the Klay is going to work out. I'm curious about Klay, because Klay, preseason, he looked pretty much the same. Like, his shot's just not right anymore. So I don't know how it's going to go with Klay either. Like, I'm curious to see how Klay pans out for the Mavs. I'm scared for Klay. Like, him leaving the Warriors was already like, damn, he would have left the Warriors. But now it's like, I don't know. Like, I'm kind of nervous about him. So we'll see what happens. But yeah, they swapped out. Yes, they got Spencer. They got Spencer Dinwiddie. They also swapped out, I guess you could kind of say they swapped out Tim for Quentin Grimes, which is a good pickup in my opinion. Like, I like Quentin Grimes over Hardaway. Hardaway, best years behind him. He's pretty much done. And then, of course, they got Klay. So, I feel like they just upgraded their weaker pieces, like, for the bench-wise, to, like, solidify the bench a little more. And they got a solid starter in Klay. We're going to see how he pans out. I still believe in Klay. I think Klay is going to still be able to give you his 15 a game. Because that's pretty much what he is at this point. He has been for the most part. A 15, 18 point. I feel like he can give you a cool 15 or 18. You're cool. Because you still got Kyrie. You still got Luka. Luka going to be Luka. Kyrie going to do him whenever the time calls. And I think they're going to be... I think Mavs going to be straight. Then we got the Nuggets. The Nuggets are interesting because the Nuggets have lost so many pieces, and they don't have a bench, like, at all. Like, the Denver Nuggets do not have a bench, y'all. Like, they don't. The Nuggets don't have a bench. The Nuggets, like they lost, let's see, the previous year, they lost Bruce Brown. Was it Bruce Brown? I don't know why I want to say Bruce Bowen so bad. I know that's not the same player. They lost Bruce Brown. They lost KCP this offseason. Jeff Green, I don't know if he's retired or he just didn't. I think he's retired. I'm not sure. I can't remember. You never know with players nowadays because they just don't exist. And they be like, oh, they announced their retirement. I'm like, I haven't seen you in 4 years. I didn't know you were still playing. So they lost Jeff Green. And they didn't really do anything to really fix that bench. Like, it's still the same. And they actually might have worsened the bench because Christian Braun is reportedly going to be – I believe Christian Braun is going to be the starter this year, the two position. Yeah, Christian Braun is the starting shooting guard. So it's just interesting to see how they're going to be – how they're going to be. I don't know. It's going to be very interesting to see how they pan out because they don't have a bench. The problem with the Nuggets is there's no bench. And they had arguably the best starting five in the league last year, and they lost KCP, so I don't know how that's going to work. I think Christian Braun is going to be a solid fill-in, but he's still young. So I think he's going to be a solid fill-in, but again, time will tell. We'll see. We'll see. But I don't know about the Nuggets. The Nuggets are an interesting team. They just need to get some help on that bench. They got Westbrook, but that's just Brody. Brody can only do so much. He going to do so much, so we'll see. We'll see how the Nuggets pan out. I'm a little concerned for the Nuggets. The Warriors are interesting. The Warriors are an interesting team. The Warriors are interesting because I've been saying that I feel like they're going to be trash this year and they're not even going to make the play-in. But I just feel like this is going to be that weird year for them. Like, the year they won the chip with the Celtics, I feel like that's going against the Celtics. I'm sorry, not weird. Against the Celtics. I feel like it's going to be one of those weird years. Like, it's going to be just somebody going to emerge. Like, some young player they got going to emerge and just going to take that step. And you'll be like, why the fuck the Warriors the third seed right now in the West? Like, what the hell going on? You're going to be just confused about what's going on. I really do feel like it's going to be one of those years because I do like, I can't say his last name. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Powers, Brandon, the one they basically picked over Clay, the rookie, last year rookie. I can't say his last name. I'm not even going to try it. It's like Pozemski, I think, or something like that. I can't ever say it correctly. I apologize. But I feel like he's going to be that player to take that step. I really do. And it's crazy to say, but I think that he's going to see a lot of run. Buddy Hill was a good pickup for him, too. I liked the Buddy Hill signing. That was a good pickup for him as well. Kind of like your replacement shooter for Clay in a way, in a sense. So I like what the Warriors got. I'm not gonna lie to y'all. I like what the Warriors got. I do. I know that's crazy to say, but I like what they got going right now because they starting five right now is it's Curry, Brandon, Wiggins, Kuminga, and Draymond. That's the starters right now. They also picked up DeAnthony Melton, who's going to back up Steph. Buddy Hill's going to back up Brandon. You got GP2, Gary Payton II. He's going to back up Wiggins. Kyle Anderson will be Kuminga's. And then you got Tracy Jackson Davis, which actually he was a very solid piece for them last year as well. So I feel like the Warriors are going to be that sneaky team this year. I really do. I think, like, whenever we count them out, that's when they just shock us. We're like, why are y'all still relevant or decent, you know? Like, I feel like this might be that year for them. I really do. It's barring health. As long as Steph stays healthy and Draymond doesn't crash out every other game, I think they're going to be fine. I think the Warriors might actually, yeah, we're going to talk about that. When I get my list, I'm going in a second. The Rockets were a very interesting team last year. They're a nice up-and-coming team. They got some young pieces. I don't have too much to say about them. I think they make the playoffs this year as well, which I'll get to that in a moment. I think they just signed Jalen Green and Sengun to extensions. I might have said his name wrong, but it's the center. They just signed him to an extension, so they're there. They also drafted Reed Shepard, which is a huge pickup for them. So they got Reed Shepard as well. They still got the Thompson twin. I'm going to tell y'all now, the Thompson twins are my boys. Love the Thompson twins. Amen. I swear I love them. Like, those are my boys. I love the Thompson twins. Like, I'm a big fan and a big believer. And a big believer out of both of them. It's weird to say, because people are like, why do you like the Thompson twins? Some of them, like, I can't explain it. I just enjoy watching them play. I really do. I enjoy watching them play. They just play the right way to me. They also still have Cam Whitmore. They still got Dylan Brooks. The Rockets are going to be that team, I think, that's going to be probably... They'll be a play-in team for sure. We're going to say play-in for them right now. Then we have the Clippers. Clippers are going to be ass. I'm going to just say it. They don't have nothing. The best thing about the Clippers, if you're a Clipper fan, the best thing to look forward for this year is to see the nice, pretty arena that has all the fancy tech and all that in there, because your owner is a billionaire that just does whatever the fuck he wants to do. So that's the coolest thing to look the Clippers got going on. No comment on them. The Lakers, I already talked about them. The Timberwolves. Timberwolves made a big trade. They traded away Cap, which has been basically the cornerstone, like the franchise player for them, until Ant got drafted, of course, and has kind of taken over that mantle. But, you had Carlisle Towns got traded to the Knicks. The Knicks acquired him for DiVincenzo and Julius Randle. I believe the only two players that was involved in that trade. The only two that mattered anyway. So the Timberwolves, I was iffy on them to begin with, but now with that, I don't know how Randle is going to mesh with that roster due to Gobert being the center and how Randle played. Randle and Ant kind of are ball dominant players in a way, so I don't know how they're going to mesh in that regard. It's like, defensively, the team shouldn't take a step back defensively, but that depends on if Randle is engaged or not. Like, I don't know how that's going to pan out for them as far as, the pieces fitting. Like, the team's not bad on paper. It's really not. I just don't know how they're going to fit, because they still have Naj Reid. Jaden McDaniels is still there. Mike Conley is probably another year or two away from hanging them up. He's getting to that point probably. It's closer than people realize with Mike Conley, because he's been in the league so long. You don't realize how long some of these players been in the league until you look up their careers. But yeah, I feel like the Timberwolves defense it could either stay the same or it's gonna take a slight step back. But I don't think it's gonna get better. I don't think it's gonna be better than what it was last year. I think it's gonna either be one or the other. I'm just curious, because I don't trust Gobert. Gobert is not, he's just not that guy at all. He's not. I don't like Gobert at all. I really don't. I think he's overrated as hell. I think he has the most overrated Defensive Player of the Year awards I've ever seen in my life. Like, I feel like Bam should have got one at this point over him. I feel like AD even got robbed from over one from. Like, it's I don't know what the media's infatuation with Gobert is with. I don't know. It must be the advanced stats analytics that I don't give a fuck about. It must be them, because I don't see it. But the Timberwolves are going to be interesting. And also, will Anthony Edwards take that next step? Because they're crowning him as the best shooting guard in the league, which I disagree with. But they're saying he the best two guard, and, he's top three player under 25. All these kind of things going on. So it's a big question of whether or not he's going to take that next step or not. And now he's officially the guy for the Timberwolves, because Cat's gone. So it's going to be curious to see. Then we have the Phoenix Suns. We know what happened with them. They went for broke because their owner played NBA 2K My Gym mode a little too much. He think, because he won four championships in a row, he could do it in real life the same way. However, you need pieces that make sense. And the problem with the Suns is that they didn't have a point guard last year. Trying to run Bradley Beal at point did not work. Devin Booker, he can pass the ball, but he's not a point guard. He is more of a shooting guard who can pass very well, but he should not be the primary ball handler. This is my opinions. KD is KD. And yeah, and then it kind of took them to the playoffs big time, but they had no one to really run the offense or like slow the pace down. Like, it's only so much you can get away with playing isolation ball and whatnot. Like, it's only so much you can get away with that. Like, talent is only going to take you so far. That's just how it goes. Talent is only going to take you so far. You still need coaching, and you need pieces that make sense. You need supporting cast members. Like, you the main, like, think of it as a movie. Like, the main protagonist or the, you know, the main actor in a movie or whatever, like, they can have a phenomenal performance. But the movie overall could be trash. You know why? Because the supporting pieces and everything else that led into, like, the plot and all that, it didn't add up to the greatness of the main actor, like the lead, like whoever has the lead role. You need pieces to make it a great film. Like, a lot of times you don't fall in love with the star. You fall in love with the supporting cast members in a way. Like, a lot of times that's how it goes. And not saying that's how it works in, well, that is how it works in basketball sports in general, because you always got that fan favorite. And then you got those players that when you're a fan of a team, you're just like, you know what? He good, but y'all don't see it because he's not the star. But he's actually the important piece of the team. Like, a lot of times the most important piece on the team is not the star player. Even with the Heat, for instance, when we had all the big 3A, the Heatles era, our most important player, and I will say this to the ends of the earth, was Chris Bosh. That was our most important player. Without him, it didn't work the same. Like, we couldn't do what we did without Chris Bosh. Like, he was the most, like, not saying he was the best player, but the most important piece of the puzzle, it was him. Same way can be said about the Warriors. The Warriors, their best player, of course, is Steph, but their most important player, Draymond. That's the defensive anchor. That's who, you know, sets the tone, who controls, who runs the offense. Like, Draymond is the most important piece, in my opinion, but Steph is the best player. It can be worded that way. I know it sounds crazy. Some people saying, like, well, no, if it's the best player, especially the YNs, they always want to say, oh, well, if it's the best player, he the most important. How can he be the more important than the best player? I'm like, it's not about you said the words to yourself, like, comprehension is everything. I didn't say who's the best. I said who's the most important. It's the difference. Words have meaning. So I feel as though the Suns probably will be a playoff team just because of the talent alone. I don't see them doing anything else, though. This is going to be a playoff team, one and done. I don't see them doing anything else. I really don't. But then after that, it kind of – I don't really talk about the other teams that much. We got the Blazers. Nothing discussed there. We got the Kings. The Kings will be interesting because the Kings – people said the Kings took a step back last year, but they really didn't, in my opinion. I think the Kings just stayed the same. Like, that's the problem. Like, I don't think the Kings took a step back. I think they just stayed the same, and other teams got, like, not even, like, a ton better, but, like, 1% better, and that was enough to push them down the standards. You know, it just was one of the things, because, like, you look at the Kings' record last year. Let's look at the Kings' record. Let's bring it up. I don't need to see that. Dang it. I hate ESPN. I need to go on StatMuse. Kings record 2023. All right, let's look and see. 2023 King. Yeah, there we go. All right. That's the wrong year. Next season. All right, so the Kings. Kings last. So let's say, okay, so 22-23. That was 2 years ago. The Kings, when they finished third in the West, the Kings were 48-34. Okay. Then the following year, which was last year, they finished out 46-36. Okay, they lost two more games. That's not a huge deal. In most years, it's not a huge deal. Just know that they were 48 wins in 22-23. And they were the third seed at 48 wins. They literally lost two more games than they did the previous year. And they finished ninth instead. That should show you how crazy the West is, because a two-game difference in their record dropped them from not third to fifth or third to sixth. It's dropped them from third to ninth. They went down six spots off of two extra losses they took on the season, because teams got slightly better, and that was enough to push them up. You know, like, it's the West is just so stacked like that, to where it's crazy that, like, when you really you gotta put things into context, because, like, the people saying, like, the Kings fell off or the Kings weren't good, this and that, but in reality, the Kings were about the same. It's just that everybody else got better. So it's just, you just, it's every little, every win matters in the West. Every win matters because, yeah, because matter of fact, the sixth seed, the sixth, matter of fact, because this is what happened. So last year, 48 wins got you the third seed. Let's start there. They got you the third seed. And you had the Nuggets with 53 wins and the Grizzlies with 51. And then this was in 2022 and 23. You had Nuggets first seed, 53. Grizzlies, 51 wins. Kings, 48. And the Suns had 45. That was your top four seeds. That's your top four seeds. The five, and then you had, let's go further, actually. You had the Clippers with 44 wins. You had the Warriors with also 44 wins. That was the six playing teams, playoff teams, not the playing teams, which was the Lakers, Wolves, Thunder, and Pelicans. We're not talking about the playing teams, just straight playoff teams. Those were the ones. Those were your ones. So that was the 2022 to 23 season. So then we have 23 and 24, which was last season. The number one seed was the Oklahoma City Thunder, 57 wins. Then you had the Denver Nuggets, they had also 57 wins. They was tied. The Thunder got the one seed off of tiebreaker. Then you had the Timberwolves, who had 56 wins. Then you had the Clippers, that was fourth, who had 51 wins. Then the Mavs at 50, and then the Suns at 49. The Lakers had 47 wins. The Pelicans had 49. Then the Kings had 46, and the Warriors had 46 as well. That's insane to look at in hindsight, because just to think about it, even if the Kings would have had 46 wins, not last year but the year before that, they would have 46 wins. They would have been the fourth seed in the West that year. Like it's so little margin for error in the West for like how important games are for seasons, where like you, every game counts, every game matters, every game legit matters and counts. It's just insane to look at how close it is and how much difference a year alone makes in wins totals. So I think the Kings finally made a move to get incrementally better by adding DeRozan, which I think is a good move for them. I think that gives you another option to go down in the stretch, because you know Fox is usually a closer, but you got another one. You also have a consistent 20 point per game score. DeRozan's gonna give you 20. It's gonna be all mid range, which you know I know the YNs don't like the mid range, but he's gonna kill you for the mid range, and maybe hit one three, maybe on a good night. But you know he's gonna be that second consistent piece, and he's gonna be able to keep things afloat, I feel, in a way. Because, like, whenever things break down, like, okay, Fox is off tonight, who's going to be that next scorer? I think you have someone now that could be, like, that secondary scorer. Like, you have a number two option now, a legit number two option. Because Monk is nice, but he's off the bench. Keegan Murray have his random games where he just go crazy. Cool. Sabonis is not really an crazy offensive threat to me. I feel like Sabonis is more of just a traditional big. Like, if he's going to give you about 16 boards, about 15, 16 boards. Let's say somewhere between 12 and 16 boards, he's going to give you that. And then he's going to give you probably about 13 to 15 points. But it's not going to come in a way where, like, okay, down the stretch, we can go to Sabonis. Like, no, it's like some easy layups, some putbacks. Maybe a mid-range, if he can hit the elbow shot, maybe, like, those kind of things going, like, you know. But it's not really – he's not really that score. Like, you're like, okay, if we need a bucket down the stretch, we can go to Sabonis, and he got it. Like, he ain't really that option for me. So I feel like DeRozan's going to help that. It's going to help maybe balance the roles out better for that team as far as, like, Sabonis focusing on rebounds, rim protection, Fox, ball handling, scoring, DeRozan – secondary ball handler, scoring, and then Keegan Murray can just be that shooter. Monk can come off the bench comfortably and be fine, you know, like just things like that, and not have to worry about trying to put up like 40 or whatever. Not 40, I'm sorry, but like 30 or 20 or 30 or whatever. Like, you know, he can keep within that 15 range and, you know, help with the minutes as well, because you won't have to run them as much. So we'll see. I think it's just day-to-day just for preseason purposes. I know a lot of them was like day-to-day and all that, but I don't think there's no serious injuries going on with them right now. I don't believe. I think everybody's going to be fine, if not for the first game, at least well into the first month of the season, like by November, they should be fine. I'm not 100% sure. I didn't really look at the injury report for that team, so I apologize. Then we have the Spurs. The Spurs are going to be interesting. The Spurs are going to be interesting team. The Spurs are going to be interesting because the Chris Paul effect. No matter what, Chris, you can say what you want about Chris Paul. You can say what you want. At the end of the day, everywhere Chris Paul has gone, the team has gotten better in some capacity. In some capacity, they've gotten better. They may not have been like world beaters where they all of them may not have automatically went to like a 1 or 2 seed, but they all got better. He went to the Clippers, the perennial playoff team. Should have been the finals at least 2 of those years. They had 2 teams that could have went to the finals, I believe, possibly 3. Clippers was made the Clippers relevant and they've been pretty relevant since Chris Paul got there, and since he left, he's made them relevant. Like he made like kind of a spot for them. So they've been. I can't say like the Clippers fell off. Chris Paul kind of brought them back up. And then we had the Rockets. We had the Rockets. The Rockets also, they should have won the chip, but he got hurt. Chris Paul always get hurt when it's the most inconvenient time. The Rockets became a exponentially better team, and they should have made it to the finals. And I believe they would have won the finals that year, but injuries always hit them. Then he went to the Thunder. The Thunder made the playoffs in the bubble. They made the playoffs, and they were a better team. And he unlocked Shea. Shea Gilgeous is like I unlocked from Chris Paul, unlocked Shea Gilgeous and Alexander. He, like that 1 year of mentoring just helped him just like substantially helped him like improve. And now Shea is leading one of the best teams in the Western Conference right now, the Oklahoma City Thunder. They are a lot of people's favorite to make it to the final this year. So we'll see how that pans out. And the Thunder's been pretty consistent since then. Like they've got some pieces and they blossom. And now they are a threat to win it all. I don't think they will, but they're still a threat. And now he's on the Spurs Then he went to the Thunder. Then the Suns. Again, with the Suns, he got Devin Booker to a new level. Devin Booker became a better player with Chris Paul. That whole team became better with Chris Paul. They made it to the finals. They were literally 2 wins away from winning a championship. And then Chris Paul got hit with all the time, and that was the rest is history. So, and then even with the Warriors last year, the Warriors were slightly better with Chris Paul last year. Take it, they didn't make the playoffs still because things happen. But they were slightly better with Chris Paul. And he also had Kuminga and Moses and Moses Moody. They were playing way better with him running that second unit. Like, he got them, moving. He got them a little boost in their confidence. He got them playing better. So everywhere Chris Paul goes, he makes the younger players better, like he does. And I feel like he's going to have the same effect with Wemby, because Wemby is a generational big. We've never seen anything like him. Well, we have in Bobo, but we're not going to talk about that. I think he's going to just get Wemby to that next level. Taking Wemby had a very solid rookie season. He started off a little slow, but once he got his footing and his bearings, he turned it on. He was very impressive down the stretch. I think that the Spurs are going to be a fringe playoff team. They're going to probably finish 6th. They're going to probably be like a 6th seed. They're going to be the 6th seed where they're in the playoffs, or they're going to finish 8th. There's no 7th seed for them. It's either 6th or 8th. That's just how I look at it for them. I think they're going to be fine. I think it's about time to start moving some of the young pieces around for the Spurs. I think it's almost that time. Try to get Wemby some better pieces that fit. And ones that could get him the ball and not try to, just shine and everything. And then we're going to see what happens. But I think the Spurs are going to be close. They're going to be very close. Then we have the Thunder. The Thunder, they pretty much kept the same team for the most part. They just swapped out Josh Giddey for Alex Caruso, which I think it's a slightly better move for the Thunder. I like Caruso on the Thunder more. I think it's going to help the defense out. And, I just think Giddey didn't fit that team anymore, because the direction that they end up going with that team, I don't think Giddey fit that at all. I just don't think he fit. I think he's better on the bill. I think it was just a move. It was more like a in ways it was a lateral move, but it just was to make a get a piece that fits, but it don't really need much. Like, okay, we can go with Caruso, who's going to play defense. He's not really going to score and all that. He don't really need to score. He don't need the ball. He's just going to play hard, and that's all we can ask for. When Josh Giddey, he kind of needs the ball a little more, in my opinion, to really, you know, get going. And he kind of got X'd out of the offense, and he didn't really have a spot anymore. Like, he just didn't. Like, he just wasn't really playable anymore. Not with how that system and how they got things running in the OKC. So, I understand the move, and I don't think it was a bad move. It made perfect sense to me. And I think the Thunder probably will repeat as the one seed in the West. I really do. They're going to be one or two. Whether they make it all the way, I'm not sure. I'm not sure about that. I don't know how they're going to make it. I don't know if they're going to make it all the way. Then we have the Jazz. They're just going to be that team that just exists. That's just, yeah, they just do whatever. They might be okay. They might tank. Who knows with them? We don't know. They're either going to be decent, mid, or ass. That's it. They're not going to overachieve anyway. I'm just saying, and I don't think they're going to overachieve. I think it's just going to be what they be. The funnest thing about the Jazz is you can probably watch Keontae George. I enjoy watching him. And then you have Lauri Markkanen, and you can just watch them play and maybe drop 30 a game. Who knows? It'll be just fun. It's just, that's one of the teams you watch just because you like a play on, and that's it. It's really nothing else. And maybe Colin Sexton might go out for like a 40-piece randomly, you know. So it's going to be one of them weird shits happen with them. The Grizzlies are going to be interesting. That's the last team we're going to discuss with the Western Conference, which I'm almost down the list. The Grizzlies are going to be very interesting because the Grizzlies, they have Ja back. We know Ja had a rough year and a half between the suspensions from the IG stuff, and then he had the injury when he came back. Excuse me. So, Ja's going to be interesting to see. It's going to be interesting to see how he comes back. I think he's going to be fine, though. But the problem with them is that they're going to be they're injured. Like, Jaren Jackson Jr. is already hurt. Luke Kennard is out. That's two pieces for them. They rotate. Two key rotation pieces right there out. Marcus Smart, you don't know how long he's going to hold up an injury. You're not even sure about Ja, because Ja is injury prone as well. They drafted Zach Edey, which I think was a good draft pick for them. I think it was, because they got them a solid center that they can actually rely on, because they needed somebody to replace Steven Adams. They need a replacement for that. So, I think, I don't know. I think if the Grizzlies can somehow get healthy, have remained healthy for a period of time, I see them peaking at the second or third seed in the West. Because they actually are a very well-put-together team. It's just the injuries. The injuries just, like, fuck over them every time. But they're a very well-put-together team. It's just health. Health is their problem. That's their Achilles. It's just health. So we'll see what happens with them. I just pray they stay healthy, because I enjoy watching Jai. Jai is one of my favorite younger players to watch. I just hope they stay healthy. I really do, because that could be a very good team in the West. So we'll see what happens with them. So if I had to say like my standings for the Western Conference, I would probably say Thunder are going to be the one seed. I'm going to go on a limb and say this is the year that Luka actually has a good season from start to finish, and the Mavs finished second. I'm going to say the third seed will probably be, this might sound crazy. I'm going to say the Grizzlies are going to be the third seed. Hopefully they stay healthy. Grizzlies as the third seed. The fourth seed will probably be the Denver Nuggets, just because of Jokic, really. That's going to be the carrier for them, just because of Jokic now. And I think they're just going to win games somehow. They're going to get to that fourth seed. Fifth seed. I'm sorry. I say Timberwolves fourth seed. I say the Timberwolves are the fourth seed and the Nuggets are the fifth seed. I'm sorry. I'm going to swap that out. The sixth seed, I'm going to say Lakers making the sixth seed. Lakers make the sixth seed. I think they can pull it off. I think once the Bronny hype goes away after he gets into that game with LeBron and all that, and everybody kind of settle down, I think the Lakers are going to finish in sixth in the West this year. I don't think they're going to be a play-in team. I think they're going to take the next step up with JJ, and they're going to go up one to the sixth seed. I think they got it. I think they can do it. For play-in teams, I believe it's going to be the Warriors, the Suns, the Kings, and the Spurs. I believe those are going to be the play-in teams. I don't see the Clippers making the playoffs or play-in. The Clippers are going to probably finish maybe second or dead last in the West, and that's going to be crazy because that means OKC is going to get another crazy draft pick to get another young talent. You never know what they have. Everybody's draft pick damn near for like the next 6 years, so it's just insane. Like I don't know how that's gonna pan out. So they might get another great young talent. We'll see what happens with that. But yeah, I don't see that happening though. But yeah, I got the Kings, Spurs, Suns, and who else did I say? And the Rockets. I got them all being playing teams this year. And for the 1-6, oh, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. I actually got to remove somebody. I completely forgot about the New Orleans Pelicans. I always forget about that. That's crazy. That's my hometown team. I forget about them. That's a tough one because I don't know who I would kick out because I think the Pelicans going to make it too. I think the Pelicans might be a play-in team as well. Screw it. I'm going to keep what I got. I'm going to say they're not making it because of the center situation. I don't believe they're going to win with them centers like that. I don't think that. Yeah, that's my Western Conference predictions. For the Eastern Conference, it's gonna be quick. I ain't got much to talk about with the East. I ain't gonna lie, the East ain't got much going on. With the East, it's gonna be the Celtics, it's gonna be the number one team. I think the Celtics are gonna repeat as champions. We're gonna get that the way now. I think the Celtics are going back to back. I think the Bucks are gonna not be that great because of coaching and age. The team's old now. Like, they've gotten old. It's that time. Like, and they got older when they got Dame. Like, he's a cool piece, but I feel like they got older. So, I don't know. I'm going to have to see about the, but I don't believe in the Bucks this year. The Heat are somehow going to make the play-in or the sixth seed somehow, some way. I say, like, the seventh seed, they're probably going to slide in around there. The 76ers are going to probably get hurt. And they're probably gonna be a top three seed in the East, but they're gonna get hurt. It's gonna happen. The Knicks, I think the Knicks are gonna be the Celtics' toughest competition. Just because they semi have the side Commissioner Robinson's out this for the year now, but they have a team that's built to beat the Celtics. Like they have the wing defenders and everything like that. They have the team that's made to beat them. So we'll see what happens with them. The Bulls are going to be fun because LaVine looks a little better, and I also believe that Lonzo is going to stay healthy. He's going to stay healthy, and he's going to stay healthy, and he's going to get that team moving. Because when Lonzo was with the Bulls, they just were better. They just looked better. Like, I wish they had the same team before he got hurt because that team would have been special. Like, he had them perfectly set up. The Pacers are gonna, they were kind of like the Kings of the East for last year. They got blessed by injuries too. Like they got blessed by injuries to the team. So I feel like the Pacers are probably gonna be a play in. No, they're probably, I don't know. Pacers are gonna kind of just be in a mix somewhere. The Pistons are gonna be whatever. The Nets gonna be whatever. The Wizards probably won't win the game. The Raptors are going to be all right. The Hornets is the YN Central, so they just going to be whatever they're going to be too. It's really not much going on in the East that's exciting, I ain't going to lie. Like, a lot of teams. Oh, and the Cavs. The Cavaliers are going to probably be the same as they've been. They just that middle-of-the-pack team. Like, you see them all the time, but like, man, the Cavs could really be special. They could win a chip. And then they get to the playoffs and it just falls off a cliff, and that's pretty much it all the time. Like, they always let you down, but you look at the roster and be like, man, it's a good team, but they just can't, I don't know, get to that next level. They just can't. And then you have the Orlando Magic, they're going to be a surprising team this year. I liked the Magic last year as well. I really did. I enjoyed the Magic. last year, and I like what they got. And they also added KCP, so that's a good addition for them. I think they're going to be in the playoffs, like fifth seed. I'm talking like I think they're going to be pretty solidified, and it's not going to be like a little sneak in. The Hawks are probably going to be your perennial 10th seed that they always are every year. It normally happens that way. It's just how they life works. They always be the 10th seed, but ain't much to talk about with them either. They got the number one pick. I can't say his name. I'm so sorry, guys. I cannot pronounce these players' names. I'm horrible pronouncing them. But they have, Zachariah, I think his name is. Zachariah Rashard, something like that. They have him. He's going to be cool. I think, Alexander Sarr is on the Wizards. I don't like any draft pick this year either. Like, I really don't. I don't like a lot of the draft picks this year. I think the draft this year was extremely weak. I think it's one of the weaker ones we've had in years. The best player in this draft, in that draft, is probably going to be some random player that got drafted like 20th overall, and we're going to be like, what the fuck? Or it's going to be somebody like, who it is, Rob from the Timberwolves got him, Rob Dillingham, him, or maybe Reed Shepard might just be the greatest sixth man for the greatest rookie sixth man. Who knows? I just don't. Oh, Zach Edey has a good shot, too, because I'm pretty sure, though. Yeah, because of the injury, so. I don't know. I just didn't like the draft classes. Yeah, I really didn't. I didn't like the names of them. I didn't like anybody on there. Like, it's a reason why. Well, one of the reasons also why Bronny is being discussed the most out of everybody. I like Connect, too. I liked Connect. Connect was cool. I liked him. But it's a lot of mixed people. I don't like McCain that much. I think he's a little overrated, but that's just me. But yeah, I don't know. And then the 76ers, they got Paul George now. It is going to be when are they all going to play together, because either Paul George is going to be hurt like he is now, or Embiid is going to sit out a game or be hurt. So it's just like, okay, cool. Y'all got Paul George instead of Tobias Harris. So what? It's like Tobias Harris was on the court contributing nothing, and now it's just going to be like, oh, you're actually hurt, so that's why you're not doing nothing. That's all it's going to be with them. Like, I don't have much to say about the 76ers. I would say the Celtics is going to be the 1 seed. 2 seed will probably be the Knicks. 3 will probably be the Bucks. I would say 4th seed is going to probably be, let's see, who I got? Let's see, I said Celtics. I'm going to say Celtics 1. This is tougher than I thought. It's not like it matters. The Celtics is going to run through this conference anyway. The only team that got to compete them is the Knicks, and really the Knicks, and that's pretty much it, because I don't think the Bucks don't really do much either. Because they're getting old about a minute. They're just going to fall off a cliff soon. Celtics, 2 seed will probably. No, you know what I'm going to say? I'm going to say this. It's going to, you know, I hate the 76ers. I'm going to the 76ers and the Knicks. I'm going to say it like this. It's going to be Celtics at 1, Knicks at 2, 76ers at 3. Then I would say number 4 probably be the Cavs, because they always make the 4 somehow. I would say 5th is probably going to be the Bucks. 6 is going to be the Magic. Nah, Magic going to be 5th, and Bucks are going to be 6th. I think we get the 7th seed as a play-in, and I think the 8th seed is probably going to be... Seven and sixes, I guess. Did I say seven and sixes yet? No, I think seven and sixes. Yeah, because Celtics, Knicks. No, Celtics, Knicks, 76ers, Bucks, Cavs. Magic. Then I would say the Pacers are probably going to be that 8th seed this year. We're going to get 7. I'm just giving a 7 just because I'm being hopeful. But yeah, I think that's how it's going to go. The 9th and 10th seed don't matter, because they're going to lose anyway, probably. It's going to probably be the fucking Raptors and the Hawks, as always. It's going to probably be them two teams. It's going to be like the other two for the play-in, but yeah. And I think, that's solid. That's solid. That's solid. And I really want to say the Pelicans going to make the playoffs, but I don't know who I'll take out. I really don't. I really don't, because I feel like the Spurs are going to make it. I feel like the Spurs are going to be like the 8th seed or some shit. Like, I really do feel like they're going to make it. And I think the Rockets are going to be solid too. And I think the Warriors are going to surprise people though. That's the thing. I think the Warriors are going to really surprise us this year. I don't know why I have that feeling. I think they're going to surprise us. Actually, I'm going to say Grizzlies don't make the playoffs. I'm going to say the Grizzlies don't make the playoffs and bump everybody up. And I'm going to say that the Pelicans probably get the 8th seed out the play-in, probably. Because they're going to probably get hurt at some point. I'm going to say the Grizzlies don't get tremendously hurt. Well, fuck it, no. Fuck it. I'm going to stick with what I got. I'm not changing that. I'm going to keep the Grizzlies where they at. I'm going to keep the Grizzlies where they at. It's going to be between the Rockets and the Pelicans to get into the playoffs, which shit probably. I don't know. The West is going to be interesting. I can't really even give a solid, consistent pick on them because you never know. It's all depending on health with them. So, that's pretty much the NBA preview for upcoming season. I think that the final matchup is going to be the Celtics. I ain't going to lie. I think it's going to be Celtics and Thunder. I think the Thunder take that next step this year. It's going to either be that or we're going to have a repeat Celtics and Mavs again, which I don't want to see that. But I think the Thunder might slip up and make it this year. I think it might be the Thunder. I have Celtics and Thunder in the finals this year. I'm going to stick with it. I think the Celtics win it in six. I'm going to go ahead and say go that far now, like how much I think. But, yeah, that's my prediction for the finals anyway. I think MVP this year is going to finally be Luka. I think Luka finally going to get the MVP. I think they're going to find a way to give him an MVP. He on that Embiid kind of level right now. It's like you've been the favorite to win it. Luka's the favorite to win MVP every year. He never wins it. So I think now Luka's going to finally break through and get it this year. I think it's going to be the year. So there you go. That's where you have it. Those are my NBA predictions for the upcoming season. We're going to see how it's paying out. We're going to open it tonight. It's Tuesday. We're going to see Anna LeBron and Tatum and Brunson go at it. We're going to see what happens with them. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting. I'm excited for the games. I really am. So, with that being said, I will bid you all adieu. And I will see you all next time. Peace out.